like talk to fam, it's like, you know, I've been traveling, so it's hard to get with everybody, man, and just vibe and shit. But
hey, where you at right now?
I'm in Texas. Texas. I'm in Angleton, Texas, which is about, I guess, like 45 minutes south of Houston. So yeah, I was thinking about driving out there tonight, because So Real is doing a show. So I was thinking about going out there, but I'm definitely going to go out there and hit a session. Oh, show. But my man, Kyle, motherfucking Twin Street Beast in the his house. Bro, my man, welcome again. Shit. Hey, so you were doing some teaching before this? Is that what I remember?
Yeah, I just did a private.
There you go. Nice, man.
Student, you know what I'm saying?
There you go. Yeah, I definitely wanted to talk about that, dude. You know, because I shared your post, but you're starting to offer some freestyle classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is that about? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, like that, like what freestyling, like, well, I'll call it freestyle science. So like what freestyle science, it means like, well, for me, it's like, it's really a science to freestyling. Like a lot of people don't realize like the skill that you have to actually freestyle. Like for a rapper, for you to freestyle as a rapper, like takes a skill. You can't just like, you got to spit in full on verses. Like,
mm-hmm.
And you don't know how to rap.
Mm-hmm. That to me, that's the true definition of an MC. You have rappers and then you have MCs. Those are MCs, are guys who can freestyle on the spot.
Right. No, facts. So like for me, like when I'm teaching freestyling, I'm trying to teach like your full capabilities of your body. So when you are freestyling, you have those elements to connect to.
Mm.
Type thing. Like, okay. you can teach somebody moves, but like when they don't understand the moves or understand like themselves, it's like it's not really gonna come out how they think it's gonna come out.
Mm-hmm. So, damn, yeah. And that's an interesting point with like when I was teaching like choreo teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would always tell them like, you know, the training is for like the how. This is how you do it. Right. And then when we're doing these full outs and stuff, like, please like dig into why you're doing these moves, you know, like try to understand, like when you see all these different moving parts, like, you know, like why you're on this side of the stage might not make sense right now, like when we're practicing and just training these moves. But when we perform it and we're doing like these full out run throughs, like, please like dig deep and see why you're standing on this stage. What's this vision that, you know, not even just me, but other choreographers may be having that they're trying to get you to like execute and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, facts.
Yes. Hey, bro. And I wanted to ask you about this. I'm so glad I got you here. What is up with the name change? I love it. But please tell me, how did you come across this? What made you do it?
Well, like my whole journey while I was in Texas January, that got back in August. But I really had like a whole like spiritual journey in Texas. Like I was really understanding myself. I had a lot of things to like focus on, a lot of things to fix, like in terms of me being a father, in terms of me being a partner, in terms of me like just living everyday life type thing. So like I was really gaining knowledge of myself, and by what I mean by that is like I really dug deep and went back into like history. Like mm-hmm. I was really teaching myself like historical like events and things like that, the people that were before me, the ancestors before me. So like yeah, I came across this dude named Kaba Kamene, and he's like a student of a guy who's a student of the guy that created like African like history. Like he taught it in universities. He was the one that really got the historical facts and stuff from the places like he went to, like Egypt and like and all that other stuff, and he got that information through like learning it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was learning from him. And I learned from many other people. I was reading books and stuff like that. And I came across the name from this one book he has. It's called Spirituality Before Religion. Mm. So it's really based off of, like, understand. Uh-oh. Damn, I think I woke him up. It's a little
dude. Oh, Damo, let's go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just got it from that. And Atom Ra, it's pronounced Atom Ra.
Atom Ra.
Yeah. People think I got it from The Mummy, mm-hmm. but it's like, no, that's Amun Ra that they're thinking about. Yeah, but Atom Ra basically means the son of nature.
Mm-hmm.
But what I got that from, like, the sun is like, is me. I'm the son of, like, my family. Like, mm-hmm. they are the planets, and Kim is the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we have birthed a planet, which is Enzo. Type mm-hmm. thing, and they revolve around me. They're orbiting around me because they're relying on me.
Mm-hmm. Type thing.
So, when I say I'm the sun, that's what I mean by I'm the sun. I'm the foundation of my family.
Yeah, sir. Oh yeah.
That's on God.
Yeah, that's on God, bro. That's on God. Like, you know, you, dude. It's so crazy because it's like when I first met you, you weren't a dad, like, and it's just so crazy. Like, it's crazy when I think of, like, I've been on my own journey, you know, as a father, you know, and Elijah is going to be 6 soon, and so, like, I look back and I see, like, you know, he's a baby, and you guys are, like, also in your own infancy of as parents, you know. Yeah. What I mean, like, and I know you could probably relate when I say this, is like, we had all these ideas of what we were going to do as parents. You know, we had all these ideas of, oh, I'm not going to do this, or, oh, I'm going to do this. And it's like, nah, that goes out the fucking window.
No, facts.
pretty fast as a parent.
Yeah.
And so it has been tight to watch you, like, you know, grow into a man and into a father and fit that role. You know what I mean? Like, your baby's happy for sure. I, you know, you look at that baby's motherfucking happy, bro. Like, so that's a dub. Everywhere. That's a dub, bro. Like, there is unhappy babies out here in this world. So that's a win. But, like, now too, to also see you take on this dance name, and it also symbolize that, you know, your structure of your family and what it means to you, bro. It's nice, man. It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. What do you think has been a challenge as a dad and an artist of your nature? Cause, like, you be everywhere, bro.
Yeah, that's the thing. Fucking balance, bro. Like, that shit is just like, I'm kind of getting it down now. Like, I don't understand it. It's a time and place for everything. So, like, I didn't, like, at first I didn't really, like, I couldn't really get that concept, like, together. Like, where it's a time and place for everything. I just wanted to, I was really being, like, hard-headed, and, like, I wanted to rely on, like, my artistry still, and I couldn't do that, but I was still trying to, like, I want to keep it going, I don't want to quit, because I feel like if I quit, I fail.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about, like, failing, like, it's really about, like, knowing the time and place, and, like, a lot of things not that important, as you think, so... Yeah, man, it's just, I was just really been knowing when to do stuff and when not to do things.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Parenthood, man, put some things in perspective, you know.
For real.
It put some shit in perspective. You know, I went from just being the dude, you know, and I'm just out here dancing, and the next thing I got a kid, and then it was like figuring out that, like, you know, like that balance of, like, when I can go hard, when I need to be home, you know, like she needs me, he needs me, they need me, I need to be home right now, guys, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, going and then being a single dad, you know, then trying to refigure out, like, what does this look like? Well, like what do I feel comfortable with even giving to them versus, you know, them, you know, and then you got to figure in work and all that shit. Like, it's a lot, bro. It's a lot, but you're definitely doing a good job, man. I definitely want to make sure I say that you're doing a fucking stellar job, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah, man.
It's rough.
Yeah, dude, it's rough, bro. And you know, that's another reason. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, bro, is so people can come on and kind of like give their backstory, bro. You know, like there's so many people, dog, like you have no idea. Like being able to travel, there's so many people who I talk to, you know, and they're like, oh, what is so-and-so like? You know, they'll ask me like, oh, what is, you know, what is Sherwin like? And it's like, oh, you know, he's fucking Sherwin. Like, you know, like, it's Sherwin, dog. I don't know. Like, I don't, but then like you get asked, I get asked about you, dude. And I'm like, yo, like, yeah, they're like, yeah, he just seems so crazy. Like all the shit he does is like, bro, but he is not like that. Like Kyle is so chill. You know, he's just doing his thing, just being a dad and this and that. And it's like, you know, but everyone is always impressed with the way that you approach, you know, dancing and the fact that you're a dad, you know, that you're able to balance it. And like, even you said, you know, we're still learning, like even myself, you know, we're still learning how to find that fucking groove, man. Yeah.
It's like, when you think you have it, you don't have it.
Nah. And you know what, bro, that's going to be a thing. Somebody said it to me and I swore on my life, I'd pass it on. But that's what makes you a good dad. You know, you hit a point, you know, even with your dance, right? Like you became twin street beasts and you still got this urge to do more. You know, that's what makes you a good dancer. And the thing that's going to make you, the thing that's making you and will continue to make you a good dad, bro, is you feel the need to be better at it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you were just saying, like, you think you got it figured out and then you're like, nah, I can, you know, I got to do this. And it's like, you know, it's that progressive science of wanting to get better at something, you know, figuring out new ways, figuring out better techniques and, you know, more time just training it, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Facts, man.
My guy, on that, you know, you've been Twin Street Beast now for like 2 years now. No.
I'm trying to think. I don't have no idea, really. However long that weapon battle was, that was when I became that was when I became Twin Street Beast.
Bro, a lot's happened. A lot's happened. How are you feeling? How are you feeling now that you've had some time to kind of sit in that name?
It's good. Like, I just feel like I have to like keep improving. You know, I'm a twin, so it's like I have to not live up to the name, but just like I have to, cause I don't know if I'm the first Twin Street Beast.
I think you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm the first Twin Street Beast, so I have to make that name a name. You know, like I don't think I'll ever not be Twin Street Beast, but if I'm not, like I will want that name to like mean something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was talking to Laz too. I was talking to Laz recently, man. And then, you know, she's the first lady striker. So it's like, damn, to be the first at something is crazy, you know? And then, yeah. You know, I would tell Sherwin, like when he was talking about, he had called me a few times when he was first wanting to put the lessons out, like online. Mm-hmm. And his big concern was like, you know, that other people had been doing similar stuff. And I was like, bro, it's one thing to be first at something. And then there's another thing to be the best at doing it.
Right.
I was like, and then you find a weird place where there's people who are like the first or like the second to do it. And they're the best. Now those motherfuckers, you know, they bang. Like those are the ones right. that are, ooh, baby. So to see you be the first, man, like, is this crazy? It's just, and I mean, dude, you came out the Ville and was just going nuts. Like,
I was ready for stuff like that, man. Like, I'm even before Crumpet, I was a battle head. Like, I was in battles like 24/7. Like, if there was a battle going on, I was there. Like, when I came to LA, like it was different too. Like, the skill difference in Chicago and LA was just too crazy. So when I came here, it was like I gotta get better. so I can battle niggas. So I'm like, I got, like, I was laughing all the time because when we first moved out here, like, all we was doing was dancing because we were street performing. Mm-hmm. So that was our lab. So then as we were doing that, we were getting better. So I was like, all right. So then we just battling. That's all I was doing for, like, like a year and a half or something like that. Probably more than that. I'm still battling, so shit.
I know. I think the last, I'm pretty sure I remember you battling since then, but like the last battle I really remember with you, like really, really remember. And it's like, cause I was there, you know, was you and Crush. And then even then, I don't want to say that we're privileged, right? Because you and myself,
no, we're definitely privileged.
okay. You already knew what I was getting at. Okay. We are privileged to have these experiences. You know what I'm saying? And matter of fact, bro, I was at Best Buy earlier. And I met a guy and he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, I was asking him about some microphones and shit. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, he's like, oh, like, what are you really looking for? I was like, oh, I do a podcast. So we got to ask and got to talk. And, you know, it comes up that I'm a crumper. Mm-hmm. And bro, huge fan of the Beast Camp. He's a huge fan. He's like, bro, he's like, I knew you looked fucking familiar. He's like, I just fucking knew it. He was like, dude, no way, bro. Shout out to Wade from Best Buy in Angleton, Texas, my motherfucking guy. But bro, it was just like, you know, as I'm talking to him, because he's asking me about like our experiences and shit, bro. And as I'm talking to him, I'm like, damn, bro, I've been around some buck motherfuckers. Like, right. you, Beast Boy, you know, who else be at the labs consistent? Like, Garrett, bro. I mean, everybody in the camp is so fucking talented, bro. And it's hard. Like Sherman yelled at me one time because I wasn't hyping while y'all were battling. And I was like, dude, I'm like dumbfounded right now. Like, I'm like, you know, like, I'm dumbfounded. These fools are so impressive. Like, so I'm just standing there like,
right,
you know, like all dumb, like, you know, fucking retarded and shit, because y'all know how I'd be high as hell at the sessions. But what's been one of your favorite moments, bro, since like really hitting the crump scene and getting involved? Like, what sticks out the most to you?
Shit. I feel like I'm really enjoying sessions more now. I think it was when I first started, because I always like when I start something new. When I start something new, is like I'm like consistent, because like it just like fuels me when I find something new to do. Like right now, like I'm learning how to like make beats, and I already made like freaking like damn near like 6 tracks in a matter of like a week that I just started learning for this shit. So it's like, I'm just always like, when I start learning something, that's like the best time. Like I feel like I'm like enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. That first like initial like it's like it's obsessive in a way, you know. You want to stay up late learning, you know, or like that one beat you walked away from before you went grocery shopping is like, I need to get home,
go back.
I need to work on that. It's like, it's there. Bro, there's been so many times, dude, where like just watching people dance at sessions, it's like, I don't even feel like sessioning right now. I want to go lab. Like, you guys are making me want to go lab. Like, I need to step away from this, and I might just go lab in the corner for a second, you know, like, cause y'all are like, people are so impressive. Like, I remember first stepping into Crump and it was the same way. It was like, I never really wanted to dance. I wanted to practice. Like, this active motion right now is not doing it for me. Like, I need to train, drill this 150 times. You know, that's psycho behavior, bro. Oh my god.
Not for real. I was like, when I first started Crump, I was labbing. Like, I remember I was working for Amazon. I was doing like the overnight shifts. But when I got out the overnight shifts at 5 a.m., like, I would go, because I was living in Arcadia, and we had like a studio in the back. I mean, in the back. Like, it was a guest house. There was like a studio we had built. And then, like, I'll just go there after work, because I couldn't sleep because my body is still, like, moving. So I'll go in there and laugh for, like, an hour, then come go back in the house and go to sleep. It was crazy. Like,
that's what it takes, though, man. Like, when people want to be as good you know, as you and some of the other people, like, you know, like you gotta kind of obsess over it. You gotta push yourself to it, you know, to get better. And that's where you, that's when you know somebody's going to be good. Yeah, bro. Like when the Ville came along, and I remember like I popped out and I first saw everybody, and I can't remember if it was Garrett. It was either Garrett or it was Hero. And I was just like, it's tight seeing how hungry they are. Like it's tight seeing everybody step in here and really be trying to learn and really like, they're going to be good. Like that was my thing. Like everyone in here in this room right now is going to be really fucking good. And everybody did. Everybody got really good, dude. Spidey, fucking J. Chris, everybody, bro.
It just sucks that like when you get to a certain age, you can't like just focus on it no more. Mm-hmm. You can't just focus on like that. And that's like something that like I miss, but I know like it can never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can, like I could get up at like 4 a.m. in lab, but I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
I know that like yeah, I got what's going on in a couple of hours, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I've, you know, first through Elijah, for one through like three was like really weird. And even when Sid would bring him to sessions with us, you know, there was always that pressure to go ahead and get home, you know, it's getting late, get the baby home. Mm-hmm. And then now that he's a little older and likes dancing, bro, it's like I lab so much around him and with him, like not even teaching him anything. He's just watching me and I'm watching him and we're labbing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're labbing, like there's labbing in here. And so, you know, I've started to have more hope that as he gets older and, you know, as life progresses, it's like I could find my way back to, and it's not like, I feel like for people like us, right, we feel like as if though we're losing it, like we're losing that hunger. And it's like, nah, bro, but we are being starved in a different way. Like we're being starved of it and we're just filling that appetite with these other things, you know, the dad roles or people who's got two jobs or people who's going to school, you know, whatever predicament they might be in, you know, they're shifting their focus into other things. But the moment you can shift that focus away, that hunger's going to return. That tummy's going to growl and you going to need to eat, boy. Like,
right.
I really learned, bro, being on the road, like, I'm not good without dancing. Like I'm not good, like as a person, like I'm not good. My mind's not good. My heart doesn't feel good. I don't feel good without it. So I know I'm never going to lose that appetite for it, man.
Yeah.
And when you came to Texas, you were in Dallas. You said that earlier, right?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas. Yeah.
Were you hitting sessions and shit out here or were you just like, nah, I'm regrouping?
Yeah, I was more regrouping. I went to the World of Dance out there, and I think I went to like two sessions, but then that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really out there for dancing. I knew like I was out there to get myself together and like regroup to come back out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that's how I've been feeling too ever since, you know, I decided to make that move east. Like I still don't even have my own place out there. Like I'm literally living on the fucking road. And so like, bro, it's not cool. Like I don't like this shit. But like right now too, I'm really trying to double down on the dancing, you know, dance as much as I can, you know, while I'm in these other towns and double down on podcasting, you know, book as many as I can. And I know they might like interfere with each other, but they're like serving the same purpose. You know what I mean? It's to get me off this fucking road, bro. No, sir. Don't worry.
Right.
Cali's home, man. I really realized that. Like, I used to talk so much shit, but Cali's home for me, man. Like, even after living in all these places, it's where what I do, where I do does well. Now you're back at Cali, and like, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but you know. So now you're doing these freestyle classes and you're doing them private. Are you doing group sessions? Oh, what is up?
Hey, what's up? Hey. Back to shine.
But are you doing group sessions too, or are you doing everything one-on-one?
Right now I'm just doing one-on-one. I feel like I want to do classes, but I don't want to, like, I feel like when I do one-on-one, like, I can really grab, like, have the student grab the information better. I know when I do classes, like, I'm gonna have to, like I have a curriculum for the classes, but it's like not, I don't want it to be like robot, you know. Like I want something, like I want something to have more, like, be more organic than anything, because I'm not really, like, how I am as a dancer, I'm not really, like, I'm structured, but I'm not, you know?
That makes sense for me. It just makes sense. I don't know. I know some people are going to be like, that makes no sense, but it makes sense,
dude. Because a lot of shit is, like, off the dome. It's not even, like, thought about. I don't really think when I'm about to battle, when I'm about to dance or whatever, freestyle, like, I don't think about what I'm about to do before I do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's almost like an ultra instinct type shit. You know,
flow, man, that flow state, bro.
For real. Just put my, like, not on autopilot, but it's just like, yeah. Just feel that essence.
Bro, and, like, somebody asked me one time too, is like, what do you think about while you're dancing? It's like, listen, if I'm thinking while I'm dancing, I am telling myself, fuck, I'm losing. Like, because if thoughts are coming in my head, bro, they're so intrusive. Like, they're not right, bro. So I gotta get, my goal is to not think. That is my goal walking in there. Don't think, just feel, just do the thing. It's right. The thing. It's the one thing I know how to do. Do it. That's it. Like,
right. And it'll come. It'll come to you. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like for me too, I've been like, oof, this is my first time really talking about this. Recently, and maybe you can talk about if you've ever had experiences like this. I feel like I'm changing a lot in my style, like the way that I approach crumb, like the way my body actually moves while I'm doing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's changing and it wants to change. And so recently, and especially like my last, like maybe like 2-3 battles, I just haven't done good. Like, and even if people say I do good, thank you, whatever, but I don't feel like I did good. How I process my own art, I'm like, no, I don't. I could have done better, should have done better. And I know a big problem is I'm going in there thinking, because I'm going through this style change, you know? Like, so these things are happening, like, consecutively, and it's fucking with my brain. It's been fucking with my brain for some months now, and I kind of feel like I'm working through it, but have you ever had that issue where, like, you feel like you're going through a style change and you're just kind of like bumping your head against it?
Definitely. I definitely have style change recently. Like,
mm-hmm. You have. The recent footage I've watched of you, you definitely look different.
Yeah. Because, like I feel like my life really transferred into my dance. So, like where I'm at, like, in terms of knowing, like, me finding myself, like, as a person, as, like, because, like, yeah, just me finding myself as a person, like, it just really made my dance, like, stronger. I feel like before, my dance was more, like, it was more out of the box, more, like, gritty and stuff like that, but, like, I was just like doing whatever, because before I was more rebelly. I feel like I was more of a rebel, if anything. But like me knowing what I know now, I've became more of a, I feel like more of a powerful being in a saying. Like, so like my movement is more powerful now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to be, like, I'm a father, so like I have to be strong. I have to show vulnerability. I have to show like who I am at all times, because I'm the only person that can, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody else gonna tell me like who I am. Ain't nobody, like, you know what I'm saying? You can see, you can think what I am, but you're not going, like, you're not going to really get the bigger picture. You can, but not everybody is.
Yeah. Yeah, not everybody, man. And I think that's, you know what, that's, you said a good chunk, and it was this, like, you know, this change in life. You know, I think that's a big thing when I see dancers, and it might be even be a problem with myself right now. Mm-hmm. But a lot of dancers go through changes in life, you know what I mean? And they just don't know how to quite, like, process it, you know, and sometimes it shows in their dancing, mm-hmm. you know, or even like, you know, even like us, like being parents, you know, like some people become parents and they just step away from dance completely. They're right. just like, nope, done. Like donezos. Mm-hmm. And so not to say like that they should be dancing, because they know their life better than I do for sure. But I think there could have been maybe a chance to like process the information, you know, implement it into what you're doing. And then, you know, you have a new product. Like, you know, like we got with Kayo, like, you know, went to Dallas, did all these things, you know what I mean? Got better as a person, you know what I mean? And then comes back and looks way different than what he used to, you know, a good little change, little change ago, you know, a little change.
Right, little change.
Man, fuck, dude. I miss you guys, bro. You guys have no idea.
I'm like, every time I see you, I'll be like, damn, it's been too long, bro.
Too long, dude. I was supposed to be visiting for Thanksgiving, but work was like, no, you guys are going to work through the holiday. And so that's putting a fucking damper. But dude, I'm telling you, the moment I get back out there and get to hang out with everybody, bro, it's gonna be good vibes for sure. So Kyle's got, man, dude, this is so nuts, dude. My man's got his own trainings going. You know what I mean? And working his way, you know, so with these trainings and stuff and everything that you got, like, what would you say is like next step for Kyle? You know, you got the classes going, you know, you're obviously a buckhead and you got your family stuff going right. Like what's the next goal that you got in your eyesight?
My goal is to be like more like financial literate. So I want to like learn about stocks and learn about like how like this country is like move, like how this country move in terms of like financially, because like once you got that down, like I'm able to give back better to like the community that I'm in, or like the community that I was from, or the community, or just to like my family, you know what I'm saying, be better for my family, be able to provide for my family better type thing. So I want to do that. I just want to like build a legacy. Like that's my main goal in life now. My purpose in life is to build a legacy. So
yeah, there's a scene. God, and dude, it, I mean, as a grown ass man watching it, every time I watch it, I cry. Grown ass hairy ass man. But there's a scene in Black Panther, bro, where he like sees his dad. And I know you probably resonate with this, right? Mm-hmm. But he sees his dad in the afterlife, right? In the ancestral realm. And he goes, a man who doesn't prepare his children for his death has failed as a father. Mm. And I think about that often. That's what you know. Bro, I'm talking about whole tears, bro. I'd be right there with my son just fucking like ugly crying, dude. Like, and every time he puts that movie on now, I like exit the room. But it's one of my favorite parts. It's one of my favorite parts. I love it. Like, dude, I couldn't imagine watching that movie like on an airplane. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just so
get the ball.
Oh my god, it'd be so awkward. But yeah, no, legacy for sure, man. Cause it's like, I even think about it too. It's like, if I can't leave something for my children and they be prepared, you know, maybe not to say that they won't be sad or any of those things. That's what, you know, that's normal, but to be prepared, like prepared to tackle the rest of life. Like, yeah, it's going to suck, but you gotta move through that shit. Like,
right.
There's no escaping that. But the legacy part to say like, hey, you're ready. You know, maybe there's even a business or something for you to inherit, you know, and have the financial literacy to have all these tools that we were neglected of,
mm-hmm.
you know, at your disposal.
Right. At your disposal. Right. Yeah, like I remember I was talking to Kim about this quote earlier. It was from this movie called The Good Dinosaur. It's like a I don't know if you know it, but like the dad on there, like he will always tell his son, like, you are me and more. And I was mm-hmm. like, damn, that's like a crazy quote. Like, mm-hmm. you are me and more. Like, he expects him to you, yes, he's his product, but like he is supposed to ascend that mm-hmm. version. You know what I'm saying?
So mm-hmm.
yeah, that part of like legacy is like some rare
shit. Yeah, it's, you know, I think about it with Sherwin a lot, right? Like the teacher, the student begins where the teacher ends.
Mm.
And so I think about that a lot with Sherwin. You know what I mean? It's like, and he's not done dancing yet. And so I have to begin where his last round was, you know? And so that always puts a lot of pressure on me, you know what I mean? To like get better, you know? And dude, when I watched that movie, the first thing I thought of, bro, like I'm telling you, first thing, like you're so much like looking at Elijah, I was like, dude, I got to do more, bro. Like I got to do more, because if he's me and more, then I got to do more, because I'm not even happy with me right now.
Right.
You know, I'm not done yet. So let's get to fucking moving. But I think about that a lot with like that's a good movie. The Storm Provides. It's like a The Storm Provides, baby. Yeah. Hell yeah, you gotta learn how to roll with the punches, baby.
But
that's a good one. That's a good one. Disney low key be having some bangers for the parents, bro. Yeah.
Nah, it's for the parents. Low key.
I've never watched so many Disney movies now, like as a parent, and watch it and be like, that wasn't funny before. Like that was not, like that.
I don't understand what it is.
Oh my god. Oh dude. So that's listen, man. One thing I definitely wanted to make sure that I said while we were on the podcast was, bro, is you're a huge inspiration of mine. You know, watching, like, it's hard to convey it to other people because they weren't there, you know, like they didn't see like the COVID times. God, I hope I don't get blocked on YouTube for saying COVID, but the COVID times, you know,
yeah,
like
we were all...
yeah, bro.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
I've had some streams taken down. I've had some streams taken down. There was one that I did, like, bro, and I actually did research, right? Like I had all this research because it was COVID, so there was nothing better to do. So I was researching all this shit, bro, and I put out a podcast talking about all these different stats and facts and whatnot, you know. And they pulled that bitch down, bro. Pulled that bitch all the way down. They pulled it down off of Spotify. They pulled it down off of YouTube. And there was another one. I think it was either Twitter. I think it was Twitter. Twitter, yeah. They yanked that bitch down. But people don't remember those days, man, where it was like, or they just didn't see like the journal sessions, you know, that we would have with the camp and these exercises we would do, you know. Motherfuckers, and if y'all want to know what I'm talking about, join the Beast Camp or log in to thebeastcamp.com. Right, you guys can get all the lessons, all the good shit, whatever. But anywho,
yeah, those was definitely lit, bro. That was like my first time really, like, cause I feel like Beast Camp is really the first group that I was with that was like super consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So like, this is like the first group that was like always like doing something, especially mm-hmm. like when it was us like. At the mob, like doing that, like journaling together, like doing like the stretches or yoga or whatever. Like we were just doing like people don't do that.
Just doing shit.
Dancers don't do that. So it was just like, it was a whole different like atmosphere. It was crazy, though. I wish that come back.
Yeah, Yeah, and you know, like, man, I don't know if Sherwin's aiming for it right now or what he's really doing. You know, it's been a second since I've been able to really sit down and talk with him. But it's like, you know, he's bringing some of the sessions back. And, you know, of course, doing classes, of course, doing all this other content stuff. But it's like, I don't think people really remember either that Beast Camp Tuesdays used to be the shit, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone went to Beast Camp Tuesdays. The battles there were legendary. Like, yeah. They were like, I remember the last time I talked to him about it. He said they used to, the battles there were mini events. And it was so true, bro. The mm-hmm. battles that you would see, like.
They still are, low key.
low key. It's like, hey, I don't know. Like, I'd low key pay some money to be here right now. Like, you know what I mean? And Rev over here doing donations. Shout out Cypher Spot. You know what I'm saying? Providing a home for Crump for a while now. But yeah, man, like, no, but super inspirational, bro. Like, it's super inspirational to watch your work ethic, you know, and, you know, besides the creativity, I think that's too easy to put out there. But the work ethic, you know, the dedication to it, the trials, you know, the errors, trial and error, it's succeeding, you know? And like, even like with that battle with Crush, right? Like people would mess. Like I had some of the boys from Oxnard message me. Like, right, what'd you think about it? I was like, I think it needs to happen again. Like it needs, because you weren't standing in the room, one, when it ended, two, like to see these issues with this music. Like he's getting off, like you should have felt the atmosphere, and then this music shit is going down. Like, but to watch you work through that that's pressure. That's hard. You don't understand how hard it is when you're having a fucking music blunder and it's like, dude, I got a battle right now. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And you know, oh, and we're not just gonna act like it wasn't Crush. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it was just Crush. Yeah, right, dude. Fucking yeah, right, bro. Yeah, right. I would have fucking thrown up all over the floor.
Yeah, man. It was definitely I was so mad about that battle. Like I feel like it definitely would have been like different if my music didn't like mess up.
Yeah. But
it really did give me like, it fucked up my whole energy. Like it went off that once, I was like, okay, I can pick it up from that. Then I did it again, I was like, oh. And then I had to change the track. I was like, this is not gonna like end well for me. So
sometimes it's just not your night, dude.
it wasn't my night. I was like,
oh my god.
I'm gonna do another battle, but he, like, me and him had a conversation like after, and he wants me to battle like more people before I battle him again. I'm just like, all right,
That's cool. You know, and even like seeing that, bro, seeing you work through some of that stuff, bro, it's inspirational, bro. And I really, really hope you know that. Like, there's a lot of people, bro, who like, I mean, meeting heads in Austin, Texas, meeting heads in Dallas, and everywhere I've been in between, Minnesota, you know, whenever your name is brought up, it's always in good light, bro. They're like, yo, he's tied, or oh, he's, you know, this, or oh, that, or yeah, this battle or that. And it's like, yeah, bro, he's cool as fuck. Like, I don't know what else to tell y'all. Like, I don't know what to tell y'all about the homie, man. Like, yes, he's all those things. Oh my god. Yeah. I know there was one last thing I wanted to ask. So the classes you're doing, are you doing any online or are they all in person?
Oh, we could, yeah, I want to do online, like Zoom, do like Zoom privates and stuff like that. Do online. I feel like it'll be different when I do Zooms. I haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. Today was my first one that was in person, but yeah, it was pretty cool though. I feel like how I was teaching, it wasn't like, it was just me talking, really. So it really just felt good. So now that I'm like, I got that on my system of how I think it'll turn out, like, I feel like it'll, every time I teach, like, it'll be good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Dude, and you know, it's good too to see you. I don't even like using the word, but like monetizing off your talents, man. And I, you know, I know they're going to fucking blow up, you know? So I hope whoever ends up watching, man, just know you're going to be seeing his posts. So make sure you guys go take a class from him. Don't get left in the dust.
Don't get left in the dust, man. You
know don't get saying? Left in the dust, man. Go and
work, man. Get your arsenal up.
Nah, for real. Hey, and there's been something I've been trying to work into every podcast, and so I want to make sure I ask you is, if you could look back at 15-year-old Kayo, right, and if you can give him a piece of advice, what would you tell him? What would you advise him?
Shit. Damn. Oh, you like, I would just be like, dude, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if I were to be face to face with my 15-year-old self, because it's a different Kayo. It's a whole different, mm-hmm. That's Brandon. That's Brandon. So, like, you, that's a whole different, person, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, like, I'll just be like, bro, like, that ain't nobody gonna help you,
yeah,
ain't nobody gonna do it for you, so you just gotta,
No one gonna do it for you, hell yeah, bro, yeah, you bro. Know, I was telling Jesse Sykes that I just wish I would have told younger me, like, be patient, you know, like, just sit in the moment a little bit more. Like, I think about Raymar a lot, you know, a lot, and fucking, I just think like, damn, I wish I would have just sessioned with him a little bit more, you know, or just hung out just a little bit longer, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now when I'm at the labs and stuff and it's like, fuck, I need to leave. It's like, oh, fuck, 20 more minutes. Like 20 more minutes won't kill me. Will it? Like, 30 more minutes. It's all right. All right. All right. I'm gonna watch this battle. And the next thing, it's like 2 hours later. But fuck it, you know what I mean? Fuck it. You know, I'll deal with the consequences later. But yeah, just be present. You know, I think that's a good way too to say it, is like just really being present and patient with everything. You know, because yeah, dude, 15-year-old me, holy smokes, I couldn't tell him shit.
For real, man.
Ooh, baby. That is, I mean, Putch at 15 was a fucking menace, dude. Oh my god, driving my poor mom nuts. Oh my god. My guy, listen, dude.
Huh? I'm just trying to think what I would really say to myself. Like, I'm still sitting here thinking, I'm like, I don't even know, man. It's like, that's just like a whole different dude, man.
Sometimes you can't just tell him something. It's like, buddy, we need to sit down and have a talk. Like, we need to have this a long talk, bro.
A long conversation. It's not even like a sentence or two. Like, mm-hmm. We need a whole seminar.
yeah. And you know what? Like, in just even thinking about it now, right? Like, this is fresh off the lid. Is I wish I would show myself the same mercy now as I would show them for their arrogance. You know, like, I wish I would be light on myself now. Like if I was looking at 15-year-old me, knowing the mistakes I made, I'd be like, bro, it's all good. Like, it's all good. Like, you're good, you know? And I wish now at 30, you know, I wish I could still look at myself today and say, it's okay. You know, you've made some mistakes, or you did something wrong, or whatever, you know, you hurt this person, whatever, it's okay, just make it better, it'll work out, like, it'll work out, it'll be fine. My man, dude, you're making, man, just even talking with you makes me want to go lab, doc. Like, it makes me want to go dance, dude. It's good to have, it's good, you know, like, you and Kim, I've talked to Kim too about coming on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
That's gonna be fun. Yeah, that one's gonna be fun. And I'm super glad to be able, you know, to have had you on for a second time. And I hope we can do 4, 5, 10, 14. 15. but listen, before we check out for the evening, man, is there anything that you want to say to the community? Any gem or any piece of advice, sage words from the man?
I would say, don't give up. It's hard right now. So, I would say, once you fall, just keep getting back up. It ain't over. You always have, it's infinite possibilities to what you're doing. Everything happens for a reason. Don't ever, think that what has, put you down, that's the end. It's not the end. That's just, your beginning. Mm-hmm. you live every day, as a new beginning. Your day ends, you wake up, it's a new beginning for you to change or to keep doing what you're doing. So, yeah.
My guy, listen, it's an honor. It's an honor. It's a pleasure and privilege, to have good friends like you guys in my life, man. I want to make sure I say that too. Everybody who's watching, going to watch, going to listen, all that. Yeah. This is Kyo. Yeah. My man, Atumra, AKA Twin Street Beast, Beast Camp, all of that. Yeah. The smoking section. My guy. I'm going to message you right now. Yeah. But thank you. Thank you for coming on, man.
All right. For sure, bro.
Hi, brother.
All right, man.
Smoking section. That was Kyo. Yeah, a good friend. It's a second visit for him on the smoking section. And as you guys know, I haven't had a lot of repeat guests. I had Basics come back on the show, so he was another one. And then obviously Cisco and Damien, we do the usual Tuesday together, so we're always on the show. Listen, check out his private lessons. I will be posting them on the Corpse Collection page. I'll be posting them on my personal page. Go check him out. Yeah, please take a lesson from him. He is one of the most creative dancers that I've ever had the pleasure of coming across. Yeah, he's truly, truly a brilliant mind. And he's a genuine soul. I could say that about my boy. Yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed. Yeah, make sure that you guys check us out, corpsecollection.com. Check us out on Spotify too. Yeah, the smoking section, THA smoking section. Y'all, that was a banger. I hope you enjoyed. Until next time, stay motivated out there. Yeah. Bang, bang.